We got a major update. Jim Jordan launches investigation into potential evidence tampering in the Jack Smith Mar-a-Lago documents case.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, joined by executive producer Will Haynes in the studio as well. Harry Hutchinson is going to be joining us. We got Jeff Balaban coming in from our Israel office, ACLJ Jerusalem, as well as Mike Pompeo joining us later in this show. Hope you guys are having a good Tuesday so far. We're going to kick this off with some interesting news that was developing. Jim Jordan now saying, making claims, and starting an investigation into Jack Smith. Why? Because it seems like there's at least enough evidence to point to there being tampering of the evidence from the Mar-a-Lago raid. Obviously, the documents that were found. But now, Will, there is more coming out about this, and Jim Jordan and some of the other people are taking action.
That's right. So Jim Jordan, in his capacity as the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, sent a letter late last night to Jeffrey Ragsdale at the Office of Professional Responsibility within the Department of Justice. Yeah. And he starts off the letter with, on Friday, May 3rd, 2024, Special Counsel Jack Smith acknowledged in a court filing that some of the evidence in President Trump's classified documents criminal case was altered or manipulated after it was seized by the FBI in its raid on Mar-a-Lago. This acknowledgement presents grave concerns about the department's commitment to impartial justice, whether the special counsel's office misled a federal court, and whether the special counsel's office strenuously upheld the, quote, highest professional standards of the Justice Department.
So we'll dive in more to that with Harry Hutchinson coming up. I just want to make sure that you guys see that and understand that we are taking some cool action right now on that. And we're reporting the news. So we have this article right here, this letter that was written. So we were able to read through it with you. We'll let Harry Hutchinson, you know, one of our senior attorneys here, really break down what the legal implications are of it. But another, you know, as you know, Trump is on TV currently in court, another Trump issue comes to the forefront, and we're going to make sure that you all know what's happening. But again, it could be that you have seen some tampering of evidence, and then who knows where that leads. But you who will know, our team at the ACLJ, we'll have Harry Hutchinson joining us in a little bit. I'd love to hear from you on this topic and on the situation going on, the ongoing situation in Israel. We're going to be joined by Mike Pompeo, Jeff Balaban later in the broadcast to discuss that. Joe Biden, President Biden, is speaking right now on the rise in anti-Semitism, on Holocaust Remembrance Week, if you will. He's right now speaking at a Holocaust Remembrance event. Already had some gaffes that I think are worth showing. They're not even gaffes. I just think they're flat out wrong. We'll talk about those, as well as some strong words, actually, in support of the state of Israel. So you know what? You got to play both sides, show you what he said that I agree with, and of course, some things that were so egregious that I can't even believe he said. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. If you're joining us right now on Facebook, on Rumble, on YouTube, I encourage you to share this, or if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe, hit the thumbs up, and then in the comments, tell me where you're watching from. I always like to read those during this first break to see where everyone's kind of checking in on. All across the world, by the way, this is a really cool thing about this organization and about this broadcast. It's heard all over the world and seen all over the world. So though it is American-centered here at the ACLJ, what is amazing about America is what happens here goes worldwide. So people tune in from around the world to see our point of view and to share it with you. So again, I encourage you to do that right now. You know, when you have sort of these hate and you have the genocide happening and these college campuses, you see the protests, we have to figure out how to stop it. And we at the ACLJ have just launched a brand new petition. So if you signed the one yesterday, it's not that one. It's a brand new one. Go to aclj.org/sign, S-I-G-N, right now. Because today we are taking action. You've heard about that it was funded by, these protests were funded by Soros and other major Biden donors. They are inciting terror and anti-Semitism at a level not seen since Germany in the 30s. I said I got a text from my friend saying, how does it feel to be living in the 30s? That's what it feels like heading into the 40s. It's a global fight. We need you to take action. We're submitting a demand letter directly to a lot of these major universities, including Columbia, Harvard, UCLA, so many more. We'll go through that coming up here, but go to aclj.org/sign to sign that petition. Harry Hutchinson joins us in the next segment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Harry Hutchinson's joining us, senior attorney here at the ACLJ, to really break down this breaking news that came out that Jim Jordan has launched an investigation into essentially evidence tampering in the Jack Smith case. So that's the case, obviously, involving the documents that were seized in Mar-a-Lago that were claimed to be obviously classified documents or top secret documents that should not have left the White House. But as we have learned and as things have progressed now, it seems the claim coming from Jim Jordan is that these were mishandled. Of course, the mishandling of the mishandled documents. And I guess, Harry, I'd love to hear from you what this means for the American people and what this means for the Trump situation currently.
Well, thanks. So given the indisputable evidence showing that boxes of evidence seized by the FBI at Mar-a-Lago last year have been tampered with, and given Special Counsel Jack Smith's admission that there were boxes of evidence where the order of the items within the box is not the same as the associated scans, and also given the fact that Jack Smith has admitted that his previous representation to the federal court was inaccurate, I think we can safely conclude that Jack Smith has tampered with or mishandled classified documents. And so then the question becomes, should he now charge himself with mishandling classified documents? But of course, it's even worse than that. Why? Because there's evidence on the record suggesting that Jack Smith's office attempted to tamper with a witness. How? By offering a lawyer for the witness, basically a judgeship, if the lawyer got the witness to cooperate with Jack Smith. So in some respects, the question becomes, should Jack Smith be charged? And secondarily, do we now live in a banana republic?
Yeah, exactly. When bribery starts to become the easy way to do business, it seems, in these situations. I don't care for that. I don't like that. I'm sure people listening don't want to hear from you. When you hear these claims, what do you think? 1-800-684-3110. Because not only now do you have, like you said, this sort of tampering of the evidence, maybe it was mishandled. What does that look like? And not unlike some of the Trump situations, it seems like because it was President Trump, it was handled with haste. It was handled maybe a bit sloppy because they were just trying to get him. And that can bite you, especially in the law.
Well, everyone remembers the famous photo where they staged it and made it look like the FBI across. Fanned out all these documents and took the photo and released it of look at all these documents. It's so disorganized. Right. But it wasn't that. Right. That was a staged photo by the FBI after that raid. But it also goes to show that this is kind of the MO for the FBI and in de facto the special counsel's office when it comes to this operation and this investigation. And as Harry pointed out, I want the listening audience to remember, this isn't just an allegation at this point. One of the main reasons that Jim Jordan is now sending this letter to the Office of Personal Responsibility at the Department of Justice is that when the lawyer for the defendant raised this question, said, hey, you gave us evidence, is what you have to do when you're defending a client. You have to look through the evidence to build your case. Sure. And said, something's awry here. These scans don't match up with the evidence boxes you've given and like the list of what's in it doesn't. But then Jack Smith had to file a response in court when this motion was raised, admitting to that yes, some of these things and our previous statement to the court, which was that all the boxes were in their original intact form as seized, was an inaccurate representation to the court. So they even admitted that they're already doing this
wrong. It's not just an investigation it is an investigation, but it's not just an investigation. They've already essentially admitted the truth, which is these were handled incorrectly, that the report that they received, labeling again what boxes each document was in and so on, was not how it ended up. And now they're having to potentially face some consequences. And that's why there are people like Jim Jordan in there to make sure things get done.
Absolutely. So Jack Smith has essentially condemned himself. And so then the question becomes, what will the DOJ's Office of Professional Responsibility do to ensure that department attorneys perform their duties in accordance with the highest professional standards? The DOJ has demanded that former President Trump basically handle the documents consistent with the highest quote-unquote professional standards.
Right.
But nonetheless, the DOJ itself has mishandled the documents, and they've admitted they mishandled the documents. And so one of the things that I think should happen, at least potentially, is that the judge should hold a hearing and perhaps consider throwing out at least some of the charges related to the mishandling of evidence by Jack Smith.
Well, and Harry, that's a question I had for you, because after this kind of broke and that filing, there's also reporting from CNN that Trump's attorneys are indicating that they're going to file a motion with Judge Eileen Cannon, who has been seen as one of the more favorable to the defense judges of all the Jack Smith cases, but probably just the most fair judge that has been drawn in one of these cases. But they're indicating they're going to file a motion to dismiss prosecution if they cannot prove in a reliable way how they seized and handled key evidence in the case, which would be central to the issues at trial. Do you think that that's an opportunity here, that this could get thrown out before it even makes it to trial?
I think that's possible, certainly with respect to some of the charges, if not all of the charges. And I think it's also imperative to remember how differently the DOJ under Jack Smith is handling the case against Donald Trump, and how differently the special counsel investigating Joe Biden handled classified documents with respect to the Biden affair. Remember, Joe Biden kept basically classified documents in a garage with his Corvette. Yes, I guess as you do. Yeah. And Joe Biden has admitted that he shared these classified documents with an individual who was not vetted or did not have permission to review those documents. Why? Because Joe Biden had an $8 million contract to write a book. One of the things that I think the American people can clearly see is a differential in treatment,
right,
which suggests that the DOJ is not complying with professional standards or the standards of justice.
100%. I think people can definitely see a double standard there. They can see me treated very differently, whether it's President Trump or, frankly, anyone else, much less President Biden. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls, because we have a couple calls on this, and we are going to move on. In our next segment, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. We're discussing a bit more the situation in Israel, so I want to make sure I get these calls addressed early on. Let's go to Randy, who's calling in Ohio, on line one. Randy, you're on the air.
Hey, Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wondered from the very beginning, when they came in, there were some oddities. They came in, they threw out Trump's attorneys when they raided Mar-a-Lago. They asked that the cameras be turned off. That in itself indicates something nefarious or out of the ordinary. I've just, good for Jim Jordan. I mean, this thing should be thrown out. They've tampered with evidence. It should be gone.
Well, I think that is important, Randy. I think you're right to say thank you to Jim Jordan. I think there are people out there that are still in Washington, D.C., who are still doing a job with morals and authority and actually trying to make sure things are handled correctly. He's one of them. I do think that's rare in Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle, that you actually have people who are willing to take some risks and make some, you know, maybe make some enemies along with making some friends. But it's important, Will, to have people like Jim Jordan in those situations to stand up, because this could have easily just breezed past. And I'm sure that's what they were hoping for. They said they filed a motion or whatever it is and said, hey, you know, it's not exactly true. We were a little off. We mishandled some documents. No big deal, right? But no, you have someone like Jim Jordan out there doing his job.
That's right. And as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, it is his job to perform this oversight of the Department of Justice. And he's asking for very specific things from the DOJ and the Office of Professional Responsibility.
All right, we got.
They want all documents and communications referring or related to any allegation of ethical impropriety or any OPR investigation concerning the conduct of Jack Smith, Jay Bratt, or any other attorney. All documents and communications referring or relating to the manipulation of documents seized from President Trump's residence in Mar-a-Lago, and all documents and communications referring or relating to Jay Bratt's interactions with Walt Nauta's defense counsel, including allegations that Bratt attempted to coerce Mr. Nauta's cooperation. And that's the judgeship issue that Harry was referencing earlier. And he gave a deadline for all these documents, no later than 5 p.m. on May 20th.
That's right. A pretty quick turnaround.
That's right.
For the government, incredibly quick turnaround.
And that will provide them with their oversight and whether or not they can do criminal referrals to the Department of Justice, ironically. They can withhold funding. They can do a lot of things because Congress does have this oversight role.
All right. Hey, Joanne, stay on hold. We're not going to be able to get you this segment, but I'm going to try to take your call still a little bit later in the broadcast. If you can't hold on, I understand. But unfortunately, we ran out of time in this segment to get to you. But I know you have an important question, and we'll answer that on air if possible. If you want to call in on this topic or situation happening in Israel, the protests that are happening around the country at college campuses, the encampments, if you will. And of course, we're going to talk about the ceasefire agreement. I know a lot of you are commenting right now. I'm seeing them saying, hey, you guys came in. You said there was a ceasefire update. You didn't have an update later on. We actually do have a pretty interesting update from that ceasefire talks that are currently ongoing. And the reason why Israel is not a part of that right now. So we'll be right back on Seculo. Stay tuned. Mike Pompeo's joining us in less than a minute. Say hey to us in the comments. I'd love to see you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Joining us right now, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo is joining us right now. And Secretary Pompeo, a lot of our audience has asked for an update because they heard yesterday we came back live when ceasefire talks were starting to happen. Hamas presented new terms for a ceasefire just as the Rafah, I guess you want to call it, quote-unquote, invasion started happening. Do you think anyone, when this was presented, and I do want to kind of break down some of the details because there are, Will, reasons why this ceasefire didn't go through.
That's right. So the Hamas deal that they accepted,
it was all over the headlines,
when they put it out, it included in it a ceasefire, a complete withdrawal, a dignified exchange, reconstruction of Gaza, and lifting of the blockade. And they were touting it as, we have accepted a ceasefire deal. Yeah. It's in the hands of Israel. And Israel's saying,
right,
a little bit of a non-starter there.
Of course. And did anyone, Secretary Pompeo, do you think anyone in Qatar or in Egypt actually think this deal will be considered by Israel?
No, I don't think so. I think they've been at these conversations long enough that the Egyptians, the Qataris, the Americans, for that matter, everybody who would have seen that response from Hamas would have said, been there, done that. We've considered this exact thing. It's neither the right thing to do, nor will Israel accept it. So, no, I don't think anybody believed for a moment that this was actually acceptance of a deal. This was Hamas restating its position.
And Secretary Pompeo, do you think with the fanfare that Hamas put out a press release saying we've accepted a ceasefire deal, it was all over the news, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everywhere, globally being reported that they've come to these terms. Do you think this was a PR move on behalf of Hamas to say, look, we're the ones that accepted the deal. Israel's the one that said no go and is going to continue to invade Rafah.
Yeah, look, this is a maneuver as old as time, as old as conflict. They put out a statement trying to be the white hat, trying to be the good guy. And frankly, the mainstream media bought it, right? The Chiron ran, and that's what they were looking for. Hamas accepts a deal. They were trying to say, we're the ones that are forgiving. We're the ones that gave up. In fact, they'd agreed to nothing that they hadn't already placed as demands before. And Hamas knew, as well as everyone else, this was totally unacceptable. There was only one reason for this to be couched this way. It was to get a few minutes of good airtime. And they got it.
Yep, absolutely. And there is obviously talks out of Israel that they still plan to go ahead with their offense in Rafah. This was... A lot of people were concerned with when that happened yesterday that they called for the ceasefire and said, hey, we did it, to try to slow down what was going on. But do you think now, in this situation, that this is really the only way out of this? They have to go into Rafah.
Yes, and I believe this for a long time. Absent complete surrender from Hamas, which was always exceedingly unlikely because Sinwar and his leadership team want to survive. They want to be not in prison. They want to be on the battlefield. This is going to require Israel to do this. So they're going to go do it. When I say require, they need to do this for our own security. They need to do this for the good of the region. I hope that they continue this campaign. I'm confident they will conduct it in a way that is in accordance with the rule of law, international law, warfare. And then I also hope we shouldn't forget, this isn't the only battlefront. The Iranians are deeply aware that what's taking place in Gaza is a precursor to and a indicator of what might happen were they to unleash Hezbollah on the north of Israel as well.
Mr. Secretary, you have a piece up at aclj.org. Any ICC arrest warrant for Netanyahu and Israeli leaders would be a disgrace and should be met with immediate U.S. sanctions. I think everyone should go to aclj.org and read that piece. But what can the U.S. do if these arrest warrants surface as they are being talked about globally in the media that they expect to happen?
So let's go back to first principles. The International Criminal Court is something I dealt with as Secretary of State. It is a monkey court. It gets things right from time to time. But in fact, it spends most of its time considering prosecuting Israelis and Americans. Remember, this is the same institution that was talking about prosecuting American soldiers who had served in Afghanistan. And so we in the Trump administration not only put sanctions on the ICC, but we put it on its leaders. And we began to sanction family members. This was serious stuff. And the good news is it worked. They backed off these very same investigations. It didn't take but a day or two before the Biden administration lifted those sanctions when they came into office. And the result is exactly what you can see. These group of people at The Hague out trying to prosecute Israelis while the terrorists of Hamas killed 1,200 Israelis. It's absurd. The United States should have nothing to do with this. And then we should impose harsh sanctions on them if they go after Israeli leadership, because you can be sure if they do that, Americans will not be far behind.
It feels like a lot of the Democrats that are dealing with this are almost having their, they're almost being pulled in two directions, in the sense of maybe they know what's right, but they also know currently politically where they have to stand. And you can almost see it. President Biden was speaking currently, or maybe he just wrapped up at one of the Holocaust remembrance events. You can almost hear the two-sidedness come out of him, where he all of a sudden is saying the right things and then having to kind of cave to his far left extreme audience. But then you saw also a group of GOP senators. They sent out a warning letter to the ICC saying, target Israel, we will target you. And now you have Democrats saying that that is thuggery. And why can't Congress and even the president at this point? It's crazy to me that we can't unite on this one issue. And again, President Biden, I'll play the bite when we come back. Specifically said, you know, remember who started this? Hamas started it. Well, if Hamas started it and President Biden is saying it, why can the Democrats and the Republicans not actually unite on this?
You know, you said the quiet part out loud there at the beginning. The Democrats know. They know. This isn't the majority of the Democrats understand that this is the Iranian regime prosecuting Jews. And this is something that the United States stands against. And I think most Democrats get who the victim is here and who the aggressor was. Their problem is they have a very vocal, very important to them, political part of their party, the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. And they are pandering it to it so that they can't say one word about Israel's right to defend itself without adding, oh, and by the way, the people of Gaza have been treated so badly by the Israelis, they can't do it. That's political cowardice. It's about domestic U.S. politics. And they should just simply, all of them, not just the president, but every Democrat should do the right thing, not only with respect to the ICC, but making sure Israel understands that we know what they need to do, and we will be fully supportive of them in taking the actions to prevent another October 7th from happening.
Yeah, thank you so much, Secretary. Let me play this. This is Joe Biden, our president, minutes ago. And I want you to tell me if this sounds like the rhetoric actually coming out of the Democratic Party right now. Bite 25.
Now, here we are. Not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later. And people are already forgetting. They're already forgetting that Hamas unleashed this terror. It was Hamas that brutalized Israelis. It was Hamas who took and continues to hold hostages. I have not forgotten, nor have you, and we will not forget.
Yeah, fantastic response, President Biden, but you'll have a few seconds here, Secretary Pompeo, but that would be nice if that was consistent.
Yes, it would be nice if he had ended the paragraph there. It would be nice if he hadn't threatened to withdraw American weapon systems from the Israelis while they're engaged in this fight. Those would be nice things. They can't help themselves. They have fallen into the pit of moral equivalence, and that is a dangerous thing for the world.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to continue this conversation, and we're actually going to head to Israel later in the broadcast, our ACLJ Jerusalem office with Jeff Balaban. But again, currently right now, we have just launched a brand new petition. If you signed the one yesterday, it is not that one. It is a brand new one because we are seeing this call. The hate that is happening on these college campuses right now. We're sending a demand letter to a lot of the universities, Columbia, Harvard, UCLA. You can be a part of it right now. I'm going to encourage you. This is a global fight. We need you to take action. Again, cost you nothing. ACLJ.org/sign. Another half hour coming up. We're back in less than a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.